B-Pod Studios.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
It really feels like a big-time radio show.
Torture and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Said that he wanted a new contract with the Nets, but he wanted it to guarantee that he wouldn't have to play more than 60 games in a season. It would not have to play back-to-backs, which he apparently referred to as inhumane, which if you have, if you're playing in the NBA, you have played not only back-to-backs, you played probably four games in a day at the AAU level. I mean, they have barns built specifically to herd kids in and out. And if you're on a good team, you're playing four games in a day.
Yeah.
He is really a freedom fighter in his mind.
Yeah.
He's a freedom fighter for a very specific group of people.
Himself.
Himself.
Yeah.
Like, in his mind, he's like, I'm not going to let the, like, owners pull one over on me. I'm not going to let people put, like, this and that. And you know, I'm this, like, free-thinking individual, which is fantastic. But the things – I understand he donates a lot of money to charity and stuff, whatever. But the things he is the most vocal about are the things that, like, would benefit, like, 15 guys in the NBA. So, like, 15 people on the planet is what you're fighting for the rights to. If I'm the Alibaba guy that owns the Nets, I gotta be, and I call him the Alibaba guy because he owns Alibaba. Is that if I'm him, can you imagine you're a multi-billionaire. You spent $1 billion for an NBA franchise, and you have to sit across the table from these idiots while they make these claims. You gotta think, what did I do this for? Why did I spend this money? Which is, I don't know why these owners let these players walk all over him. I mean, they didn't. I mean, he wouldn't give Kyrie the extension, but I just would sit there and I'd laugh. I go, I'm a multi-billionaire. Who are you talking to? Go play for someone else. Like, when I hear about Paul George and, like, Kawhi Leonard and stuff and, like, what they got to do and, you know, James Harden, how he was, like, would dictate, like, when the team left places and how the owner would give him his private plane, like, on off days to go to, like, towns where he liked the strip clubs. Get out of here with all that. Like, I'm paying you all this money. All you got to do is play 82 basketball games. Not even that. You got to play 70 basketball games. Big deal. Inhumane.
I get that, Fred, but also, you know, let them tell you no. If I'm the player, you know what I mean? Like, ask for things. Let them say no. Why not ask?
Because then it becomes public.
I guess. What if he said yes? What if he's like, yeah, you know what? You don't have to play back-to-back. 60 games is enough, and you're still going to get paid the same amount, and you won't have to do as much. I'd be like, okay, that's great.
Because I think in his mind, he is, like, fighting this righteous cause, which is I don't know why it doesn't. I don't, like, you know, like, sit home and think about it. But when I read these stories, I think of just, like, how incredibly misguided he is. There is things, like, to ask for. Like, I guess I could go have the audacity to ask for the plane to go to, like, a strip club that I like in another town. But if I'm an owner, I mean, that my kids have never asked for me for my kids have never asked me for something where I sat there and went, like, are you kidding me? Like, they, like, so I can only imagine sitting across from an adult that you're paying $40 million a year to and having them ask for these, like, wild things. I guess why not ask for it? They could say yes. there's a certain thing called like humility.
Yeah, it's true.
Like a little
but
bit
when
of
they
humility.
When they do say yes, it's there was I forget what the guy's name was, but he was on Survivor and he did a radio show out here. And I think he lived in Rhode Island or something, and he asked the radio station, can you pick me up in a limo every morning and take me to the radio station in Boston? And they did. They said, yeah, sure, whatever you say. And I forget the guy's name, but he was on, like, the first season of Survivor, and he was gay. And
oh,
he
yeah,
was
yeah.
like
and he
Richard Hatch.
Richard Hatch, yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, they sent a limo, and they took him every morning or every day, whenever his show was, and they from interstate trips in the limo every day.
Well, there was a – the best story about a limo, and this is when radio was much different, because you know what's funny? For my entire career, the radio stations have always told me how we don't have any money.
Yeah.
And then you go, like, well, it's not what I'm hearing. And so anyway, so there was this, our first program director at WBCN was a assistant program director at this station, WRAF. And they had a guy that they were paying, like, this is probably like, in 1992, paying $1 million a year to do afternoons. And he literally was this big guy, just went, baby. Like, and he played like 85 songs an hour, and he would just go, and like, he goes, here's two little schism for your jism, baby. And like it, just nonsense. He just said nonsense. And he was friends with Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
And he would, like, he didn't like going to work. So he called, the program director, and he goes, Dave. He's like, hey, man, my leg, I can't get into work. And then he's like, well, Arthur, like, you really got to come in. He's like, I can't do it, baby. And then they like hang up. And so Dave calls him back. He goes, I got a limo for you. And there's like silence on the other end of the line. And he's like, but my leg, baby, you've cornered me, baby. I don't like this. It was like they, for $1 million a year, they couldn't roll. It, like, you understand, like, you're doing a morning show or you're doing a talk show or something, but for $1 million a year, he just had to roll his fat ass in there and say, baby. And go, like, quitting time, right, 5 o'clock, right. It's the 5 o'clock bell, out to pee. But he didn't want to get in there. My leg.
Well, now he'd be really screwed. You just got to do it from home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he did not. It's funny. I listened to this podcast about, like, the history of the station and all the bands they broke, which was zero. It's amazing that you could be a rock station that's been on the air for 50 years and not break one band, not be the first station to play one band ever. Never. Not one. Like you never gambled on a band and won. The Romantics was the big one that they broke. But, like, every single person was like, yeah, Arthur Peake called in sick. Legitimately, like, 40 times a year. Ooh, I got a cough. They did, and if you ever get a chance, and you will have a chance because you could do it during a break, YouTube Arthur P. WRIF and see the contest they used to do with him, including a trip to Japan, which you could not do nowadays.
No, that's shocking, yeah.
No. What he says is they're like, they're like, Mama-san, Arthur P. And it's like two geisha girls. And he's like, baby.
Oh.
Like, yeah. But what's funny is they gave away a trip to Japan. We gave away a trip to the stratosphere one time at 99X. You took a plane up above the Earth's atmosphere into the stratosphere.
Wow.
Yeah. Bill Burr tickets coming up. Like, we did the things we used to give away.
Yeah. Bill Burr's like the hottest ticket we've had in years.
Mm. Well, I mean, during COVID, I don't think we had a giveaway for 2 years.
Yeah.
Not one thing. We gave away a contest not probably a year ago where you qualified for 5 days and the grand prize was a wool cap. That was legitimately the grand prize.
I think we recently gave a hat away.
Oh, no, no. That was it.
Yeah.
That was
okay, all right. I thought you meant
recently.
In the past, yeah.
Yeah, you would call up and you would win tickets to a movie. And if you were one of the five lucky people, you had a 1 in 5 shot of winning a hat.
That's big.
Yeah. This is not a trip to space.
Not quite.
No.
Kyrie responded to this article, by the way. You want to hear what he said?
Yes.
Okay. Kyrie on Twitter yesterday said, "When you're ready to break free from the media's control over your subconscious thoughts and emotions, meet me on one of my platforms and let's chop it up. We at the A11 Even Tribe," was little thing there, "love our conversations about the truth," all caps, "and what is truly happening. Welcome to the all caps paradigm shift." The emoji of infinity emoji.
All right, read it again.
It's not going to matter, Fred.
No, I really want to try.
Okay.
"When you're ready to break free," break is, B is capitalized for some reason, "break free from the media's control over your subconscious thoughts and emotions, meet me on one of my platforms and let's chop it up. We, the A11 tribe, love our conversations about the truth," in all caps, "and what is truly happening. Welcome to the paradigm shift," emoji of infinity.
All right, so he's saying that he and his people are going to break traditional media.
I think he's trying to say that the Bucher report about the 60 games and the no back-to-backs maybe isn't true, or there's details that are wrong about it, or I don't know. It seems like that's what he's trying to say.
Or the paradigm shift, I would imagine, is that he's going to lead the way for individuals to control their own narratives without using mainstream media.
Yeah.
Is that what he's trying to say?
I'd say, yeah, the second part seems like that's what he's getting at. Like Truth Social, you know, with Trump. And the, yeah. Like, it's that kind of thing. Like Kyrie Irving's Truth Social.
Yes. So, again, a very interesting individual.
Yeah, that, what a mess that team is. I mean, just Ben Simmons and Durant. And this was supposed to be a championship roster, and it's such a disaster.
Well, that's why if I'm an owner, I'm just like, you haven't won.
Yeah, you haven't done anything. You have nothing to say to me that is going to change my opinion on all these things you want.
Like, if I'm the owner, I've said it before, if I'm the owner of the Bucks and, like, Giannis comes to me, I'm like, all right, I got to do whatever I can.
Right.
Like, you know, you've won me a championship, or even before that, like, you're my only shot at a championship. I drafted you. You're like a nice guy. Like, I'm going to do what I can. I got to do it. But if I'm now an owner and I'm building a team, screw it. I'd rather lose. I'd rather lose than be made a fool of. Because if I own Alibaba, I that's the Amazon of China. It's my understanding. I invested it in a long time ago. But the so my whole life is this, you know, billions of dollars venture and these like high pressure meetings and everything. And I buy essentially something for recreation, something like for my enjoyment. And I understand it's an investment that grows, but, and then I gotta sit there and deal with crap. And I'm not even like, it's no fun. And the only time anyone's going to hear my name in the public is these guys trashing me. So I don't know. I just would be like, go screw. I'll be the Pistons and just keep drafting and hopefully one day and not pay taxes in Detroit and get to build a huge entertainment complex without having to pay any taxes. That's what I would do. All right, gentlemen. Solving the problems of the world, one paradigm shift at a time. Maybe that's why we gave away a hat, is because of the mainstream media is being put to the side. Kyrie Irving should tweet that. Did you know 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston gave away a hat as a grand prize? The paradigm shift is in the process of happening. I'm looking at myself in this Zoom camera, and I couldn't be sweatier and grosser. I've been sweating nonstop.
You don't look sweaty.
I don't notice a glisten or anything.
Well, thank you. But apparently a miniature air conditioning unit is coming today.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Just in time for the weekend when it cools off.
I don't give a crap. I don't care if it's the weekend or when it is. Please let me sleep. At some point, I'm just caked in garbage. Big fat stuffed pig. I'm like the guy in the trunk of that car. Yeah.
Oh, hey, we have an update on the bridge jumper.
Yep.
Okay. There's a lot of places we're going. If you don't know, our station is located on Morrissey Boulevard for the next like 4 days. Christian, there was jumpers this morning. They jumped off a bridge. Now they into the water.
Yeah, right in the Dorchester Bay. Yeah.
The beautiful Dorchester Bay, which, and what happened there? Were they found in an oil tanker?
No, the guy jumped in the water, swam back to shore, went home, got dressed, and went to work, and they just found him at his job. He was just taking a swim. They
really?
Shut down. They had a helicopter flying around looking for him. They had divers. They were really looking, but he went to work. He was at work.
What does he do for a living?
They have not released that, but I'd love to know that too.
What if he was like? What if he was doing heart surgery? he was like a cardiac surgeon. He was like, "What? I just wanted to go for a swim." I don't know what the big deal is. I was up. I was jogging. I got a little hot.
It was clamming in the ocean. You know?
Yeah.
It was Charlie Baker.
The beautiful. Yeah. Right. I just, him and Murray went out and celebrated the Massachusetts gambling law. And he got a little hammered. He said, I want to cool off in the bay. Oh, boy. All right. What is that ticking?
I don't know.
That clicking.
I hear it, too, sometimes, yeah.
All right. I don't know.
I didn't hear it. Might be me. It might be clicking my mouse. I don't know.
All right. I don't know what you're doing. All right. So we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't you dare think that we think we're superstars.
Oh, no.
No,
we get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Touchin' and Rich. All right, you want to hear the Arthur P. commercial from when I was a kid about the trip to Japan to see the Romantics?
Sure. Right,
here you go.
Morisaki Buba-sama.
The WRIF 1984 World Concert Tour continues.
With me, Arthur P.
RIFA and Northwest Orient Airlines want to send you to Tokyo, Japan to see Detroit's own Romantics live in concert. From now until April 13th, when Buba-san gives you the word, be the third caller at 298-6360 for one of 3 week-long trips for two to Tokyo, including round-trip air furnished by Northwest Orient, hotel, concert tickets, and 88,000 yen spending money. Be listening to RIFA for your chance to invade Japan with the Grand Buba-san.
How are you, Buba-san?
Yeah, so he was the Grand Pooba as well as being Arthur P, and they call him Pooba-san.
Yeah.
And it's two geisha girls, and he's like, baby. he's very fat, and he's enjoying himself while they cater to his every need.
Flight, hotel stay, concert tickets, and I don't know what 88,000 yen is, but I mean, what a package there.
It's probably like 100 bucks or something, but like, yeah, I know. Like, and that was in 1984.
Yeah.
Not so much now. Not so much of that is going on. You know, we are so entrenched in the NFL. I was thinking about it last night that if I was a civilian, if I was someone who did not have to do this to talk for several hours today, and I'm sure that the other shows will have great takes to be able to spend 4 hours on who's calling the plays and things of that nature. Why in the hell would you have watched that last night? Like what would you have gotten out of that? Unless I could give you one reason why I would have watched is if I was a fan of Western Kentucky and I was like, really like that kid. If I was like, you know, like I think Zappy could say, I mean, the kid put up tremendous numbers in college. It's say you really believe in him. Like, he's like a Brady guy. Like, he performed in college, and you just think he was underdrafted. That's the only reason I would have watched that. I couldn't even find the effing Field of Dreams game last night. They had the dumb Jeter documentary on, the 85-part Jeter documentary on ESPN, and they're really struggling for it. It's just him playing with his kids.
Yeah.
I watched it for, like, 5 minutes. Like, it's like, wow, you played with your daughters. Congratulations. Like, how inventive. Like, I can't believe you played with your kids. But, I mean, seriously, that was a product last night that I don't know if you were, if not obligated to speak about it, why, or you're a fan of that Zappy kid, why you would have watched that game. Like Bert said, if I hadn't read about it, I would have had no idea who was calling plays when. And if you don't know, because you're probably not, if you're just joining us, it's a whole effing mess over there. And they got Patricia calling plays while Hoyer was quarterback, and then apparently Judge calling plays when Zappy was quarterback, and none of it makes any sense. And after the game, Bill told everyone to F off and they'll figure it out, because he's probably frustrated by the whole matter. Because I am starting to have a feeling, if you want my opinion on it, my feeling is that he believes that he thought too much of those guys, that he thought too much of them. And then he brought them in with their very limited offensive experience. He goes, you know what? These guys were smart enough to get head coaching jobs. And just F it, what anyone else thinks. He really believed in them. And then they got there, and he's like, Jesus, neither of you can do it. I bet you that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was like, basically saying, if you're a great football mind, it doesn't matter where right. you coach, is basically what he's been saying.
Well, that's what he has been saying, yeah. And he probably believed it. But the NFL has gotten so specialized. And requires forget during a course of a game, just so much preparation that, like esoteric, like precise expertise that he underthought it. And because there's no reason that he wouldn't have one of these guys calling plays right now. And he, this doesn't seem like Belichick is like, you know, screw you media, I know better than you. This seems like, screw you, I'll figure it out. Like, give me a second here to catch my breath.
Yeah, he's getting mad because he's defensive and he doesn't know what's going on. That's why he's getting mad.
Right? I think he overestimated himself in a lot of ways, because I think he sort of figured, I don't need a coordinator on defense. I don't need a coordinator on offense. I can sort of run the show here at 70 years old with these guys who have been here before, and I'll just do whatever I want them to do, because, you know, they owe me for giving them a job after they flamed out where they flamed out at. And I can just handle it all. I can run it all, and that's that, and it's fine. And you asked, Fred, like, why people would watch that last night. There's a lot of people who hate Belichick and think that it might be coming apart here, and there's like a car crash sort of appeal to it.
You're not even going to get that out of this. No. You're not going to get that out of last night. They deliberately or not, they didn't do anything. I mean, everyone's going to, you know, rub themselves over the kid from Baylor because he caught two passes for 9 yards. But this is like one of the few times, because believe it or not, I've been in town for, this is my 17th Patriots season. Regardless of what do you think of my knowledge or expertise on the matter, I mean, I have watched every Patriots game for 15 seasons or whatever it was. Maybe not when I was on BCN. And he's constantly surprised me, and constantly, frustratingly, because I don't like him, they have overcome like what I always thought were like these insurmountable odds and won anyway and go screw and da 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 da. This one seems different. This one seems like a 70-year-old guy that is this screw you to the media. I almost feel bad for him. I actually almost feel bad for him. Like, he's miscalculated things in his. It seems like someone who's like drowning a little bit. And I don't think, and then people go, well, you know, screw you. They're going to come out and, you know, win the Super Bowl. I don't think so.
No.
No, I really don't think no. so. Like, I think that, like, this is a little bit of a quicksand situation.
This could be, like, the beginning of the end right now.
Yeah. Yes. They should worry about finishing ahead of, like, the Dolphins. Like,
yeah, you know, that's, and the Jets. That's
right.
Yeah, like, finishing second in the division, right. Like, you know, like, coming out, like, with some honor. Like, this is a season of honor instead of anything else. But, yeah, this seems different. His caustic ways with the media, I can relate to it in a way. Like, I can now relate to it. Like, it sounds like me, like, just shut up. I'm trying to figure it out. All right? Like just give me a second. Don't worry about it, all right? Like, let me get my thoughts together. I'm trying to tread water here instead of, like, you know, coyly smacking his lips and, like, you know, being one step ahead of everyone. I just don't think he is anymore.
No. You know what would be different if these two guys were, like, young, up-and-coming offensive minds, and you're molding them to kind of come along, and one would end up being the OC, and you know, the other one would have his role. But these are two older guys, and if it doesn't work, you're screwed.
Yes, and I've said that a bunch of times during this whole process, is that, yes, of course you'd feel better if they were young, like, even if they were unconventional, even if it didn't work, if Bill was like, you know what, I think that I've uncovered this, like, unconventional, like, new offensive mind, this young kid, that you'd give him the benefit of the doubt, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd be like, all right, like, they're building something. And maybe he's building something to hand off, you know, when he eventually leaves, which is going to have to happen. I mean, at some point. I mean, I don't know how long you could work. You know, I don't envy him at 70. I don't know if I'll work at 70, but I'm certainly not going to work 16-hour days when I'm 70 years old. I can assure you that. But, yeah, just the whole exercise last night, it just seemed an exercise in futility. And the most I got out of anything was what I read on Twitter and what I read in the articles from the writers telling me that they haven't figured out who's calling plays. Because I'll tell you this, watching Brian Hoyer play football was not enjoyable.
No.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't. Even though Christopher Gasper made fun of me for saying that Brian Hoyer was going to make this team.
Many years ago.
Many, many years ago.
Really?
Christian Arcane on this very radio station.
Wow.
When they took an undrafted kid out of Michigan State, I said, I bet you anything. I said, Hoyer's a bit of a gamer. I bet you anything he makes the team. And Gasper said, who's this a-hole? And Gasper, who I like and I get along with, fine. But Gasper was like, who's this a-hole jackass? Get off the radio. And then who made the team?
Yeah, you were right about him, and I remember you being famously right about Draymond Green too. When everyone told you no,
I have two great rights in my. I nailed was Jason Tatum when I said he wasn't going to be very good. I nailed that. No, but the two great predictions in my life have been when I told Danny Ainge to take Draymond Green, and he ignored me and took Fab Melo. And then also when I said that Sean Thornton should play in the Vancouver series when they had sat him in the first two games. And I said this team needs a little toughness, and then he came in. So twice in 17 years I've been correct. And then, you know, forget about the Jason Tatum stuff. That never happened.
Draymond, that's a big one, though.
Well, no, it's, you know, I'm sitting here looking at a Draymond. He was All-American. He's one of the best college basketball players I've ever seen. And he was the guy that Izzo, at the end of games in the tournament, Izzo would have him handle the ball. He would have him take the ball up the court because he didn't trust anyone else on that team to do it.
Yeah, but he was like an undersized power forward who couldn't shoot. Like, he wasn't a great draft prospect, you know, in like the modern game.
It was just like those intangibles, and he didn't have a game that was like it wasn't like a Garza kind of game. It was like he's stronger and more athletic than that. So I just, like, you know, he wasn't like a low post scorer guy.
Right.
So I don't know. I liked him. But anyway, those are, I just get pissed off this time of year when I have to turn on the TV and go, like, we're gonna talk about this for 3 hours tomorrow or four hours tomorrow.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, there's not much to discuss.
No, I mean, there's not. I mean, like, and God bless shows that can craft 4 hours out of this thing. But I mean, I'm telling you, I blow my brains out. It's such a just an awful product. I just don't care.
Yeah. I went back and forth watching Cole Strange for two drives. Rewinding and playing, and I didn't get anything out of that.
See, you got lost in Cole Strange, which is good. Greg Bedard says lower body too thin.
It is. He's right.
More suitable for a tackle. So,
Fred, you gonna get the?
I don't know if I do that either.
Fred, you gonna pick up a 69 Strange jersey? Because, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It's 68 for the Agricus. No, no, no. You do it, not me. No, no, no. That is not for mouth. All right. All right. Very good. So if you watched that thing last night and you enjoyed it, and you or you went to the game, for God's sakes, God bless you.
At least if you went, you should just, like, get blackout drunk and eat in the parking lot and all that. Mm.
See, that's the thing is that, yeah, if you have a bunch of friends in, like an RV or something, then that's why you're doing it.
You go in for 20 minutes and then you leave again.
Yeah, you don't care. You don't care what's going on the field. But to sit there and put that thing on sober, achi-machi.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't find the Field of Dreams game. I wanted to see what the Field of Dreams thing was going, but it was just Jeter playing with his kids. The Jeter documentary, 6 parts. This one, Jeter plays with his children.
Yeah. Next one, he hands out baskets to women.
Yes. And they were like, and you should have heard his wife. You should have heard his wife. And we were, I just knew he was going to, I was so glad we had daughters because he had been around men his entire career. And then he like played with his daughters. You're like, all right, well, so he's not a savage serial killer. Like, big deal. Like, I'm just watching it like, what a fantastic, what a low bar we've set for athletes. That, like, here's Derek Jeter not being a psycho.
Yeah.
Here he is. He's spending 5 minutes with his daughters in some playroom reading to them.
Did Jeter address the gift baskets in the documentary? Did he ever address?
To my understanding, he has denied it and said it was ridiculous. But I always thought that was a nice gesture.
Me too.
Because let's be honest. If you're having sex with Derek Jeter, it's an exchange. The exchange is for you are having sex for him for his fame, and he is having sex for you for your beauty. Mm-hmm. So you're using each other for these various things. So if you both know you're both adults, you're having consensual sex, you're having sex with him because he's Derek Jeter. So why wouldn't you give him a nice basket with some stuff in it?
The Jeets?
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to talk to him again. So here's like a nice little thing. I don't know. I always thought it was nice. I mean, if I had sex with a woman and like I woke up the next morning, they were gone, and there was a gift basket for me. What am I gonna? I would complain. Yeah.
That'd be the best day of my life.
I know.
It really would.
When I was probably about 24, I had a friend who owned a nightclub, a lounge, and I went there after work, and I had like a T-shirt on, and like I was really underdressed for the club. And there was a woman there with her friend who was like, seemed really old, but she was probably like 35. And she thought I was like a rock star or something because I got into the club so underdressed. And we started talking. She goes, let's go. She just goes, let's go. I go, fine. She had a Mercedes, which I thought was incredibly impressive. We drove to my crappy one bedroom condo. I said, do you want something to drink? She goes, you know why I'm here. And I said, okay. I had sex with her. And she goes, I got to go home and feed my cat. And I remember thinking, what a delight. Like, what a delightful lady. And then, like, a month later, I called her. She left me a business card. I called her, and she's like, Fred, darling, I'm in Miami right now. So, no, I'm not in town. And I went, is this what being older is like? I'm like, this is going to be incredible. Yeah. And it never happened again.
Did you make her speed dial?
I put her in the first speed dial.
Right under poison control.
I kept her card in my wallet for like 10 years just as like, this was the dream.
Yeah, this is the one.
I knew I was never going to talk to her again. Yeah. But I was like, this is like what adults do is they have sex and then leave and there's no crap. And then it never happened again.
Yeah.
It never happened again. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
More Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This son of Dad and Rick Flair El Nepotism.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
I'm all in. Put it up on the board. Another rapper shot down from the mouth that roars. 1, 2, 3. Down for the count. The raise out to my lyrics. So yes, no doubt. Go rock rap 49 and Supreme. Is what I choose. And I use. I never lose to a team. I can go so
cooler like a Tyson polo. Make a fly girl wanna have my pillow. Run in the room, hanging on the wall in remembrance that I rocked them all. Suckers, talk so hum, MCs, you can't rock the kids, so go cut your cheese. Take this application to rhymes like these. My rap's red hot, 110 degrees. So don't start basing, I'll start pushing. Bad tour, now you'll be disgracing. You and your mind for a beat and a rhyme. A time for a crime that I can't find. I show you my gun, my Uzi by your gun.
I forgot to turn on my mic. So, if you know, I was talking about the Amoeba Records thing on YouTube, What's in My Bag? And the guys from the Insane Clown Posse, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Big Public Enemy influences from the Posse, who are insane. And they've gone loco. And they are.
You know what? I feel like that's insulting the Public Enemy, but I kind of see that. I kind of get that. You know? Flavor Flav, like, I get that. You know, I see what I see the influence there.
Very similar political messages. Farrakhan disciples, all of them. There's that essence of you could tell they both are fans of the minister.
What's the soda that they drink?
A Faygo.
Faygo.
That's big in the Midwest, right?
That's a Detroit soda. Faygo Rock and Rye is the big Faygo. We had Faygo for out of the blue in this Hardy. Remember when they had the cafe? When Beasley said we're not going to bother even having food for you guys anymore. And they had a cafe, and so Hardy took it upon himself to have the cafe. There was a random bottle of Faygo, a flavor I'd never heard of.
Yeah. It seemed like he was testing people for a while, because there was, like, Doritos from Taiwan.
Yeah.
There was, like, a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah, he was getting cute in there. Instead of just serving the public. If 7-Eleven had that business model, they would have been out of business a long time ago. But it's not like when I go back to Detroit, I run out and get Faygo. Like, it's not Verner's. Let's not go crazy. You guys are familiar with Verner's.
No. No idea. What's that?
They sell it at Wegmans.
Oh.
It's a very strong ginger ale. It's almost, it's like if you had a...
I've never seen this before. I'm looking at it right now. I've never seen that before.
It's like a Miller Lite would be your average ginger ale. And like a 151 would be the Verner's. It affects your mouth. There's
it's like the jolt of ginger ale.
Yeah. It's not a caffeine situation. It's just like so much ginger in it. It just snaps your mouth. But there's a bunch of crap from Detroit, but nothing. We've done this before. But in Boston, I don't really know if you left Boston, like what you would. You would what brands are indigenous to here that you can't get other places that you'd want to get? Because there was like Better Made potato chips, Verner's, Faygo, the bunch of Stroh's. Did you guys have Stroh's beer?
No.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what it was about the laziness of Detroit business that they just decided that they weren't going to, like, we're fine here. Just Better Made potato chips. Why even? We're not shipping them out of here. We're fine as it is. We're just going to sit right here by the Detroit River.
I'm trying to think what of my childhood might have been something that was just around here, but I can't really think of anything.
Yeah,
I can't think of any like product that like if I go out of town, like they don't have. Like that's, you know, like everything at school was Faygo and Better Made potato chips. Like that was like it was just like what you had,
right?
Because it's cheap. Sanders, you guys don't even have Sanders.
No,
I gotta go back to Detroit.
Like Cape Cod, you can find those chips anywhere.
Sanders, you guys don't even have Sanders.
No,
I gotta go back to Detroit.
Like Cape Cod, you can find those chips.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.